Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, we are on the road to Money in the Bank. Dan O'Brien one-on-one with Rusev. Is it Rusev Day? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This feels right. This music feels right. And we hope you all are enjoying this Rusev Day as we are live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes and SoundCloud. Like and subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV as we break down SmackDown Live. What is up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg. Usual crew is off this week. Tom saw the trailer for Total Bellas, saw his favorite wrestler John Cena crying, had to compose himself. Gabby consoling Kevin Owens after losing on this past Monday. So they needed a night off. However, I got a great panel hanging out with me tonight. First off, she hangs out running the Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly Show right here. You know her. You love her. It is Miss TK Trinidad.
Hey, y'all. What's up?
Good to have you here. Thanks for stopping by
and
hanging out.
Thank you for the invite. Thank you for the invite.
And to your left, he hosts... Her, to, yeah, that's why I said her to her, her left. If you're watching to her right, he hosts a pay-per-view after Buzz here. It is Mr. Steve Kaufman.
Steve Kaufman is here. Happy Rusev Day to everyone.
Happy Rusev Day,
it
indeed.
Is a happy Rusev Day.
Happy SmackDown Day, because last week we talked about on the show, not so fun. Not so fun at all. Tonight, however... This is why we love SmackDown, based on all the action we had tonight, the developments of certain feuds, hyping up for Money in the Bank. I loved tonight's SmackDown. And for those of you listening, they nodded in approval.
Like, this I thought you were going to add something to it.
This is off to a thunderous start.
You put a bunch of lights in front of some people, and then, hey, words! I will visually
like,
agree with your words.
Hang on every moment. So we're like, what else is he going to say?
It's so mesmerizing. Is he going to keep talking? No, I allow others to speak once in a while. You're welcome to join in.
No, I enjoy SmackDown is always, this isn't an insider term anymore, it's the work rate show. This is the show you watch to see the great matches. The 3, 4, 5 segment matches. It's 2 hours, so they have an hour less of bloat. When it's great, it looks like this. When it's not great, it looks like it did.
It looks like last week.
It looks like last week.
Yeah, definitely agree with because I'm on Raw as well, and it's just kind of one of those things where like they have a lot of filler. So like yesterday, they had Lashley with this interview thingy, and it's like, what's going on right now?
Yeah.
So I definitely am a fan of SmackDown, and I love the condense of it, and especially when you can speed through the commercials and you know get it done in a drive to work.
And Lashley loves his sisters.
Yeah,
yes.
A lot.
Yes, we found that out.
It's like, all right then.
Cool.
But great. But we love Tuesday nights for SmackDown, and it kicks off with our GM, Paige, heading to the ring. She talks about how the first co-branded pay-per-view was a smashing success.
Says her.
Yeah. Steve, I mean, you host the pay-per-view after show. Obviously, we're not going to break down all the things that happened at Backlash. You can go and check out that show in the archives on
so
iTunes.
So many of them happened, though.
However, it wasn't really much of a success, was it?
Snooze fest.
I'm not going to defend Backlash. I think there was a really, really strong 5-match card stuck in a 9-match pay-per-view. It's how I felt about Backlash. It's also how I felt about the Greatest Royal Rumble. I just feel like WWE's pay-per-views are trying to be the Golden Corral when they are at the very least the Red Lobster.
Ooh.
Wow.
Okay. I know, right?
That's a tweet. Did you tweet that? You should tweet that. You know, that's tweetable.
I save my hot takes for AfterBuzz TV.
So wait, are you saying that Golden Corral is better than Red Lobster?
No, I'm saying saying Red Lobster is better than Golden Corral.
Yes,
in the sense
it is. But it's delicious. But those biscuits.
Of course,
just the biscuits. That's nothing else.
But it's still not a down-home, been-there-forever steakhouse.
No.
That's NXT. And I lost everybody.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, you
let me
did.
Just sip my tea right here.
Please do. So, and she also brought up how she didn't expect the end of Nakamura and AJ to go as it went because she tried to make it no disqualification, and then they just both got themselves counted out.
But both men will address the issue later tonight. And also mentions how Money in the Bank is happening. We're going to have people qualify tonight. The first match is going to start right now. And boy, did it ever with Jeff Hardy and The Miz.
Mm.
People have, and we've talked about it on all the shows, how they've talked trash about Miz for so long to people. But like, no, he puts on great matches. But people still don't realize just because of the stigma that Miz has of just being such a good bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But between his match at Backlash with Rollins and tonight with Jeff Hardy, Miz, you deserve yourself a little pat on the back, because this match was excellent. It went like 20 minutes. Very hard-hitting for both of them. I loved it.
Yeah, it was by far the best match of the evening. And I'm not sure, maybe because you break down SmackDown every week, do you think he just came over, but do you think with Miz, is it really an act? Like the WWE doesn't appreciate him, or is it... Do they appreciate him, or do they really don't appreciate him? You know what
I think the WWE appreciates him how they appreciate Zack Ryder. In the sense that he'll be worth his money, because every city you go to, he'll do a Make-A-Wish, he'll do a public appearance, he'll be an ambassador for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot that goes into being on that roster as a public face of a publicly traded company,
mm-hmm,
that has nothing to do with how good you are in the ring. And I think The Miz is that, first and foremost. He is also good in the ring. And I think when he is channeling an orneriness,
mm-hmm,
of people don't take him seriously, I think that's where it comes from. It's that I can do both. I can walk and chew gum. I can be in the Marine 12,
mm-hmm,
and have a 5-star match on Sunday and then do it again on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some people in the high-ups that absolutely love Miz, like you're saying, when doing all the public appearances. Mm-hmm. Those same people also love Titus.
You know, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Because he does all that stuff as well.
They've been crapping on him for a while.
Well, there's... They've been using him. He just kind of slipped into that joke. It doesn't
get
old.
Well, I mean, he lucked out on that.
Yeah.
I'm
for many reasons.
Yeah. So the initials, like, oh crap, he definitely didn't want that to happen, obviously, but he lucked out that he got another shirt from it, and from the rumors I hear, Vince was laughing, so maybe that, you know, softened Vince to actually like him, because the rumors are, you know, after, mm-hmm, that whole incident, that was a thing, so.
Mm.
Yeah, but kind of going back with Miz, so there are some people who were like him, but then there are still those issues where he's almost never on the promotional posters, and he's not featuring these things, but yet he puts on great match after great match, and yeah, it's... I'd say it's part of the story because the commentators really emphasize it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so people are like, oh, well, he has a point because of this or this.
Right. And he's so consistent, too.
Yes.
So I don't know. Like, it's such a great... If it is a story, it's such a great story where it's believable and you don't know whether, mm-hmm, or not. But if it's true, then I feel like... Like, he should at least get something. Like, I feel like people should push for that. But I don't know if it's a story.
But I also think, like... Because he came up through reality television.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a contestant on a reality TV show, what would be best is that you find your own narrative and push it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he is 100% always done that. So that us here discussing whether or not they're actually 100% behind the idea that he isn't the guy is exactly his narrative, not theirs. Their narrative is he's the Miz.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a one-track idea of what the Miz is. And the Miz he comes out and makes it different.
Yeah, and then,
I cannot sing his praises enough.
Yeah,
because, I mean, this match was great. I mean, between that sick neck breaker that Miz gave Jeff Hardy along the apron, Hardy with the sunset flip powerbomb, which was executed beautifully, that baseball slide where Miz just kind of flew onto the mat, and then when Hardy finally hits the swanton, it was just a story of can he actually hit the swanton? He finally does. And Jeff Hardy's just so exhausted in the match. He's just lying on Miz. And Miz somehow, at the last possible second, then rolls him up, gets the win, steals the win,
mm-hmm,
and now is involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match. This was fantastic.
I definitely want to see him in the ladder match. Like,
yes.
Hardy's obviously an amazing wrestler, but he already has the belt, so it's just kind of like... leave it to some other folks, and then maybe the winner of the ladder... Well, obviously, you know, the winner of the ladder match can cash it in whenever, so
yeah.
That kind of leads... Like, has anybody ever had the belt and actually won a ladder match before?
Yes.
Well, so Miz was the U.S. champ when he won Money in the Bank.
He wasn't the first, though. I want to say one of CM Punk's two reigns, he was U.S. champ.
Maybe. Chat roll! Tell us, besides Miz.
I have that page up, because I knew it would come up.
Okay, well, Steve's going to look at that. And while he's looking that up, I have a question for all you guys.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? Because for those of you who do, we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversation with Maria features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversation with Maria. It is absolutely free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, make sure you let Maria know that it was SmackDown AfterBuzz that sent you over there. Once again, Conversation with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. Check it out every Friday. Rate, subscribe, leave comments. And while you're on iTunes and subscribe and leaving comments for that, make sure you go and leave 5 stars for the SmackDown AfterBuzz. iTunes, SoundCloud, leave the comments, share it. We love you. We love to hear from you. We want to hear what you like. We want to hear if you like Steve looking up these facts. We need to know these things. So make sure you tell us on the YouTube page and iTunes so then we can make the show even better for you. Steve, have you found it? I feel like I stalled long enough.
You did. You're right. You're right. It was The Miz. It was The Miz. However, it's not the first time. Rob Van Dam wasn't Intercontinental Champion when he won the Money in the Bank match, but he actually put it up against Shelton Benjamin later in that year. And it was Intercontinental Championship versus Money in the Bank. So, like, had Shelton Benjamin won, he would have been Intercontinental Champion and Mr. Money in the Bank. So it's not unheard of for the mid-card champion to also be Money in the Bank.
Hmm. Well, there we have it.
Yeah.
Sheamus, he's eating some Lucky Charms. Because the only thing that makes him feel better is his Lucky Charms. And he's stressed because he lost to Xavier last week. Hmm. He's not supposed to lose to Xavier. Apparently, people are not supposed to lose to Xavier, according to the bar.
So underrated.
Yes. He says he would have won the match if it wasn't for those two Muppets. And Cesaro's like, yeah, I mean, it was 2 against 3. I mean, it wasn't fair. But, I mean, obviously, if I was wrestling Woods, the result would have been different. And Sheamus and Cesaro get a little argumentative. I think I just made up a word there, but whatever.
Argumentative is a word.
Is it? Argumentative or argumentative?
Argumentative is a word.
All right, so I was right.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that? English, that's me. So they argue, and Sheamus is like, hey, Cesaro, well, why don't you face Xavier tonight? And he's like, all right, I will. And he goes to grab his gear bag, and it's filled with pancakes.
Pancakes.
Lots of pancakes. And Sheamus is filled as well, and they're angry, and they throw lots of pancakes around and flip tables.
Kudos to Sheamus for actually, because the cereal's dry, and he actually was able to talk, and because if you're eating that cereal, it's like, unless he's not eating, you see what I'm saying? Like,
that is some actor level stuff of a fake. Because
the cereal's very dry to eat, and then to also have a conversation.
I'm about to say something that's going to blow your minds.
Oh boy, okay.
In chat roll, I might lose some supporters with this statement I'm about to make.
Okay.
I eat my cereal dry.
Why? What kind of cereal do you have?
Who hurt you?
I switch
to eggs at that point?
To me, I feel like it just gets super soggy way too quickly in the milk. So I like the cereal.
Does it take you like 90 minutes to eat a bowl of cereal?
No.
What type of cereal is it?
I mean, it all depends what my mood's in. I mean, I'll eat like some of the healthier ones like Life or Wheaties, and then I'll maybe if I'm excited and want some junk food, I'll have some Captain Crunch or whatever, but I eat them dry.
You know, it's like there's a ratio, cereal to milk ratio that you can do so it doesn't. Yeah.
Have you over-milked the cereal?
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
And also there's more absorbent cereals than like Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
peanut butter crunch is fairly absorbent.
Cocoa Puffs, I eat dry. I eat them all dry. Mm. That's weird. I'm weird. You should know this by now.
No, we're well aware. I just didn't know this.
Hashtag dry man.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Steve, in the booth. Hashtag dry man is happening now.
This is a revelation.
Yeah, I actually add water to my cereal with the milk.
Water?
Yeah, because I like my milk very, like, I want it to be a little bit wet, but I don't want it to be super wet, and I don't
want
it.
We are bargaining on some interesting stuff now.
So I'll admit it. I'll admit it, back in my day.
You eat it with beer, or what?
No, I would have it with, I would have it pretty much, because whatever the serving size is completely made up.
No one eats that
little bit of cereal. Like, to me, a bowl of cereal is like half the box. So I would have Like, and by to me, I mean the me that was 300 pounds that would eat cereal every morning.
Wait, you were 300 pounds?
I was 300 pounds, yes.
Damn.
I would eat cereal every morning, and it would be whole milk, about half and half. And then I'd be done, and I'd still be hungry because it's just carbs. There's no protein. There's no fiber. There's no nothing else in cereal. So I would then get a row of Oreos or Chips Ahoy, whatever was 2 for $5 at the CVS by my house. And then I'd put that in the bowl of cereal. So it would be in the bowl with milk, but then there wouldn't be enough milk, so I'd add milk. There was zero shock when I lost 50
pounds.
Ladies
and gentlemen, I apologize. I started this. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
And that is the way, and if that's not the way, you should just wake up to kale and egg whites. That is a binary choice. You either do cereal or you do kale and egg whites. The in-between, there's no such...
I'm having a little more support. I'm having a little more support in the chat than I thought it was.
I know,
honestly.
People are getting water with cereal. It's a thing.
People
guys.
Are more annoyed with you having
know,
water
right?
than me having a dry.
But do you have whole milk and then you add
no,
water?
No. Well, I started as a kid as 2% because in Canada we have it with the bags. But
okay.
That's the whole thing. Then I went down to 1%. Then I went to skim, and now I do almond. And I just need that. I'm so used to watering it down. I even water down my juice too. Like I never drink. Just I always put water in it too. It also cuts out the calories. Like, it's less the calories because you're watering everything down, too. So, sorry. Well,
there you go.
Okay.
That was our breakfast discussion here.
Yo. We need a package that's that.
Brought to you by Bootios. They make sure you ain't booty.
This I'm going to find a way to post this on Reddit tomorrow. It's like, today I learned. Famed... Right. Famed wrestling personality Christian Rosenberg eats his cereal dry.
We all know that's false because you used the word famed.
Oh, that's very true. It's very true.
Oh,
you're
well, thank
famed.
You.
If you let that post go to the front page, it'll be true.
Fair enough. Renee Young is backstage with Nakamura. So let's get back into the show because I'm getting hungry. She's backstage with Nakamura. He's not cleared to wrestle tonight based on the injuries he sustained at Backlash, apparently. And she asks him, is this issue over between you and AJ? No. Speak English. And Renee's like, we know you know how to speak English. I forgot. And so now, no speak English. AJ Styles nuts. But so am I. No, we're not finished. And then he goes... I love Evil Nakamura so much. Solely for these weird promos.
Is it evil or just a-hole Nakamura?
It's a combination, I guess.
Like, I like the a... Like, it's... I feel that this a-hole personality, like, I like him more this way because it's just, like, you know which direction to go. Because, mm-hmm. like, yeah, I can speak English, but I'm not really going to speak to you.
I love this a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love everything about this. I've heard the murmurs and the rumors that he wants to have a shirt that says no speak English, and obviously they're not going to release that shirt.
I will buy it.
But you know why they can't do that.
Yeah, the PC.
Yeah, it's, so they're the PG era. What? No.
No, it's not the PG era. It's that's not, regardless of who it's from and whose shirt it is, we don't live in a time where you can get away with such subtlety.
I just read that they got rid of Apu from The Simpsons.
Is it official?
It's official. Like, Lisa on Sunday said something, and then she's like, well, this is the culture we're in, and then Apu is gone. Like, I read an article about that today.
Wait, what?
There's a short story.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a documentary.
I know that.
There's a documentary about it. He did that. Nobody from Simpsons contacted him, nor would they didn't need to. And instead of talking about the issues, which they could have, and, you know, continue with Apu, they're like, F it, Apu's out.
I didn't hear this part. I knew that Lisa Simpson a couple weeks ago had said the effect of, what can you do?
Yeah.
Which, coming from Lisa Simpson, was the most patronizing thing I could possibly hear, but this is not the forum.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, all right, that's interesting.
I could do a whole episode about the problem with
it. But yeah, obviously, if they're doing that in The Simpsons, they certainly can't release the shirt
exactly.
with WWE.
Well, yes.
Carmella laughing how she beat Charlotte. It's time to party, but not in a city like Baltimore. Next week, they're going to be over in the UK. We're going to have the Royal Melibration. And Ric Flair is not invited. But did you know that Ric Flair had a daughter? Her name is Charlotte.
He has multiple daughters.
Well, we're talking about
Charlotte. Yeah.
And Carmella beat her. Did you know that? Because Carmella just filled us in.
I love the fact that I hate her and I don't want her to have the belt, which means that she's doing a really great job.
Yes.
because I want, like, it's,
you want her to lose.
Yeah, she annoys me to the point where it's just like, I can't, so just move on. But that's a really great thing, and I recognize that. So I didn't realize she had that much of a, I don't know the right word, skill, but to make you, like, have some type of emotion towards her.
Well, I think a lot of the James Ellsworth stuff put her in a similar position. That when she was Mrs. Money, and when she was Miss Money in the Bank, that's how it felt to me, too. Mm-hmm. That I was like, God, anyone but her. Like, it could be Asuka, it could be this, it could be Becky Lynch, it could be someone with such prestige, and it's Carmella, and I'm like, that's her point. Mm-hmm. That's the whole story.
Yeah, so kudos to her for that.
We then have a couple quick little of those cell phone promos hyping up to want to be in Money in the Bank. We have one from Ty Dillinger saying the Money in the Bank match adds up to a perfect 10 somehow. I don't know. He must be better in the math than me. Naomi talking about she'll be champ again and snatch that Money in the Bank contract, and then whoever's champ will feel the glow. From there, we have Charlotte versus Peyton in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Steve in the booth, please hit my Christian's Closet's music. Because we have the debut of the iconic shirt. They finally have a shirt. And it suits them perfectly. It has two eyes. You got to remember, you spell iconics with two eyes.
Because why not?
It has like a silhouette of each one of them in the eyes. Has their names on the back. Their colors. I'm glad they got the shirt out as quick as they did. Because they've only been on the main roster for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. But they're so good.
I love them so much. And they deserve it. And I'm thrilled that they got a shirt. So, Peyton and Billy, congratulations. You officially debuted on a Christian's Closet segment. I know that's a bigger deal to you guys than being the Money in the Bank. So
it's a pretty big deal.
Renee Young is like, she has her own wing in Christian's Closet. So a lot of them try to get to this point. So, Peyton and Billy, you have reached it. Congratulations. You can cut the music, man.
I just like to say this music is kind of similar to Mandy Rose, like just about.
It's close. Yeah, we'll get to her music.
It's about to happen, but I'm like, what's about to go on here? I didn't know the lights were going to turn down.
Well, we set the mood with Billy and Chuck's classic You Look So Good to Me music, which was then stolen by Rico when he went solo. But it's just so fitting for a fashion segment, how you look so good to me.
Okay.
There you go.
Along with some dry cereal in the closet.
And along with, as we talk about it while I eat my dry cereal.
Which is super creepy now.
Someone's going to bank a gift of this. And it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, my goodness.
Hashtag dry man. All right. Billy mentions how Charlotte is such an inspiration, how her Uncle Craig had an awful stutter his entire life. But then that angry face that Charlotte gave when Carmella beat her, it made him laugh so hard that it cured him of his lifelong stutter. So, Charlotte, you're a hero. And we should bottle the face up and sell it as perfume and call it Disappointment by Charlotte.
Oh, God.
I love them. They're so much.
They're lay cool, but so much better.
Mm-hmm.
They're lay cool if lay cool could deliver in the ring on a weekly basis.
That's why I'm saying they're better.
Yeah. I needed to specify where they were better.
Oh.
Your statement was not clarifying.
My apologies. I'll talk in more detail next time, apparently.
No,
you guys just want me to talk? I mean, I guess.
I just wanted to play the
music.
Yeah, we'll just keep playing that music. I'll eat my cereal. And we'll talk about Disappointment by Charlotte. This got really weird. Really fun match here between the two. They gave it a lot of time, which I loved. Because I think this was Peyton's first singles match on SmackDown since she's gone up to the main roster. And they gave it the time she delivered. She had most of the offense in this match. She had a nice swinging neckbreaker on the outside on Charlotte. Big roundhouse kick while the ref was kind of distracted and Billy hit Charlotte from behind. There were a number of times I thought Peyton was stealing this match from Charlotte. Mm-hmm. But eventually Charlotte did get the figure eight locked in. Peyton and Royce taps. Charlotte is in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Not a fan of this. Not a fan of the logo.
Of what logo?
On the logo on the Money in the Bank briefcase.
I was going to say, if you're talking about the icon, I just did a whole segment on this.
No, but the logo on the briefcase is just a smidge too wide for me. And then the words are just a little too bold. I think we should have a Steve's graphic corner.
Steve's font police right now.
I'm Steve Kaufman. I'm the font police.
Cue the porn music.
If you had porn music to the Font Police.
I'm Chief Seraph here.
You're Chief Font, and Sheriff? Is that what you said?
No, I'm Chief Seraph.
Seraph?
Seraph is a thing on the little... When
you lost me.
No, the little Audi things on the... So you have a font where there's like an underline thing, but it's not an underline
Everyone
thing.
Everyone has turned this off now.
Sorry. You asked for clarification. It was a good pun. Could have just stayed... Anyway,
I'm going to go back to my cereal.
Sipping my tea.
Dan O'Brien is backstage. And Renee, or it was Dasha, excuse me, asks if any pain you're in, are you still in pain? How are you going to do in your match with Rusev? And talk about any pain you're in, you have to fight through. But I made Big Cass tap out. For tonight, the last time I held Money in the Bank, I cashed it on the Big Show right here in Baltimore. Got the McFoley pop. And then mentions the bigger they are, the faster they tap. And I have a feeling that's going to be the next T-shirt.
I'd buy that.
We then have a couple more cell phone promos. One with Shelton talking about how he made the Money in the Bank match famous. And the best highlight of his is yet to come. And then Asuka, who doesn't have a cell phone, but still has the giant weird word graphics.
When are they going to get rid of this whole thing? Period.
We were talking about while watching. We thought, oh, they're done. They're gone with those. That's good. Graphics. And then Asuka doesn't have a cell phone. She's getting like the real professional type promo. And then they throw the graphics.
I feel like they need to do those cell phone things and put it like on Twitter or wherever, and then just do the promos. Like, because those are just annoying. Like, it seems scripted, which we kind of know. And it just seems like if they're going to do the cell phone, they do the cell phone and just do it how they would do it if they were doing it with Instagram. Or they do it a professional promo. Like, I don't like it.
Well,
I haven't liked it.
I prefer these to what they call a professional promo, which is like, I think it was only 2 or 3 weeks ago. Remember, it was on a Raw when Nia Jax was like, I have a public service announcement. Making fun of Nia Jax is bad for your health. And she was...
Oh, the moment of bliss?
But I'm saying Nia's... there was a response to it where it was like a 6-woman tag or it was a 10-woman tag. It was 3 weeks ago on Raw. 5 of them were all standing backstage in this weird tableau.
Oh, okay.
Each of them all kind of say their lines out into the ether, but they're supposed to be talking to each other, but they're also cutting promos. Mm-hmm. If the option is a cell phone camera with weird iMovie words, I would take that over this weird scripted half monologue-y thing that they give us on a weekly basis.
But I think that's more their skill versus the technique. Like if we had somebody like Alexa Bliss doing that, or even Iconics doing that, then it would have worked out. But I just think the women need to like step up their game so it's believable, or do the cell phone stuff and it's just them actually literally holding their cell phone and it's them being them versus reading a script.
Yeah.
But anyways.
There's a happy medium that is easier to watch than either option they're giving us.
Yeah.
So we keep watching.
Yeah. We don't have a choice.
Yeah.
We always watch. Xavier versus Cesaro. Crowd is hot for this match because they want pancakes. And Big E and Kofi deliver.
Do you want to know who didn't want pancakes?
I'm guessing Cesaro and Sheamus.
The one kid that got pancakes. There was one kid in the front row of the ramp where Big E has a big box of pancakes and tries to dump it on his face. And he immediately is just like, no,
because he knows where those pancakes have been. Big E, I don't understand how, like, I need to ask Xavier this. I don't know if he has, like, a pouch in the bag, because you don't see the pancakes in the area, because I've looked. But I don't know if he has the pouch in his...
No, people just know not to eat those pancakes. The kangaroo pancakes.
The kid might have had a gluten allergy, for all we know.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is 2018. And peanuts.
Yeah.
They gave him the box, though. That was really nice of them. Oh, it's cool. Here's the box.
It was a fun match between the two. Towards the end of the match, Xavier is going up for his elbow. Sheamus hops on the apron and distracts him. Big E distracts him by throwing pancakes at him, which then Kofi comes this close to jumping over Sheamus when he was supposed to do a crossbody on him. And Xavier then jumps for the elbow, but it gave Cesaro just enough time to get up, hit a sick uppercut, get the win, get a little bit of revenge on Xavier. And then we cut and we see Xavier
bleeding.
Like bleeding profusely out of the mouth. And I saw a tweet about 10 minutes before we went on the air, pretty much him saying that he bit through his tongue.
Yeah. And I text him too, so he hasn't read it. So yeah, it's probably legit. Like as far as it's exactly what we thought it was. So.
Yeah. So icing that tongue.
Yikes. It looked gross. It was just like
It was just like the stream. So I didn't like. We were trying Fantastic. To figure out. We were trying to figure out if it was like a tooth got knocked out or if something happened with his jaw, and then apparently he pierced his tongue.
A lot of mouth problems tonight on SmackDown Live.
Yeah, Hardy was actually checking his teeth a couple times. Yeah. Yeah,
I think they loose. I think it looked like one of his teeth got loosened.
Oh, because then was it one of the teeth that he lost before?
He got one knocked out not too long ago.
Yeah, it was like a year and a half ago or something like that. Yeah, by Cesaro and Sheamus, I think, one of the two. Anyways, yeah.
They're the ones causing everything. where am I from here? Renee is backstage with AJ Styles talking about how he stooped to Nakamura's level and he'll fight like that if he has to, and I'm waiting for him for another match. And that was that. So we know we're going to get these two again at Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm. You think so? I think we have 6 weeks.
Yes.
I think we have 6 weeks, and it would be smarter to put either a newly lost AJ in the Money in the Bank match or a Shinsuke Nakamura with something to prove and then give AJ another dance partner. So you have 6 weeks. You're in London next week. I don't think we're gonna see the rematch at Money in the Bank. Hmm. I think they're gonna give it away on free TV. and either you vanquish Shinsuke Nakamura once and for all, or he becomes world champion and AJ has to fight back.
Vanquish, I like that.
He's
using all these big words and stuff tonight.
But that's how I feel. That I think it would be a mistake to think we can put up with six more weeks of. Not a clear finish on Nakamura Styles. Not the delivering of the dream match on Nakamura Styles. Like, I'd rather you give it away on free TV or you find a way to completely drop it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to see it on pay-per-view again. I just kind of want, with these things, it's like I understand the build-up to it, but it's like they've been going back and forth for, like, a while, and I want to definitely see something different. Mm-hmm. So him, I definitely agree.
I would love nothing more than Paige in the opening segment next week, drunk on her own power in her hometown, kind of, to just be like,
drunk
on
her own power or just drunk for being in her hometown?
Both.
Okay. I don't
but like drunk on her own power, like, oh my God, everyone here loves me, my career is great, everything is great, I'm going to give you exactly what she wants.
What are you trying to do right now with your voice?
This is my British accent. What are you talking about? Not my Paige.
Drink your tea. I'm going to eat my cereal. And try to avoid this.
No, but I think she could over-deliver in an opening segment where she gives us...
That was worse than that t-shirt coming out for No Speak English.
Was it, though?
Stop! Stop, or else I'm going to have the Bludgeon Brothers melt you down like they did with these tag team figures.
Oh, my gosh.
I need an action figure first.
Oh, jeez. I mean, you can have that made.
Yeah, you can get made. And then have the Bludgeon Brothers melt it.
I could just redress a Tommy Dreamer.
I guess you kind of can.
Just give a Tommy Dreamer a beard. It's already happening.
Boom. Right. Boom and boom.
So, yeah, guys, remember the Bludgeon Brothers? They're our tag team champions. I don't know, we haven't seen them in a while. But apparently they were busy playing with toys. And they want you to come play with them.
Because they have the toys. Cue the porn music.
We're almost at that point.
I mean, why are they... Why are we not seeing them?
He's getting ready.
Why are we not seeing them that often? I don't understand. Like,
I don't know. Is this porn movie just like a theme to Shaft?
Yeah, this sounds like a Shaft. You need like that slower. This is the dialogue portion
of the porn music.
This is when the story happens.
This is where it's got to be low enough for people to be able to talk.
Yes.
Before you hear that, like, the kind of a baseline.
So we have a slew of different figures that are disfigured. And it's really even a question, okay, so who's going to be next for the Bludgeon Brothers? Who are they going to defend the tag titles against? Because they had the bar melted to pieces. You had Gallows and Anderson down. You had the New Day down. You had Usos down. Is it just going to go straight to Sanity? Are they just going right into this picture?
They're good enough. They're good enough to do that. That's not how WWE ever treats NXT call-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, or they don't do it, or they don't do anything, or something I've been hoping for, they could just have a third Money in the Bank match and have it be a tag team Money in the Bank ladder match.
Ooh.
Four Raw teams, four SmackDown teams.
That's a lot of people.
But you're gonna put him in the No Way Jose segment anyway. You might as well at least make him work and do a good match.
Make him in a conga line.
Yeah, like, you're gonna put them all in the conga line with like the Breezango, Elias, No Way Jose. Like, I'd much rather we get a bomb ladder match and then the tag team. There's one tag team that are Money in the Bank tag teams. And then you could revitalize the tag team division that way. So naturally, they're not going to do it. But that would also explain who's next for the Bludgeon Brothers. Is if you have a team, let's say a Raw team wins that ladder match, the SmackDown, there could be a SmackDown team that makes an incredible showing, like Sanity. Mm-hmm. That they're clearly heir apparent.
I kind of wanted, this is like a dream match, but you never know, because it's WWE. Oh my gosh, Braun and
Lashley?
Yeah. Braun and Lashley, or Braun and Elias doing a tag team against the Bludgeon Brothers. Like, I think that would be awesome, because they're just all big people.
And Braun and the Bludgeon Brothers have the history together.
So, I mean, I would like to see that, but again, you know, never know.
We never know.
Never know. But yeah, I don't think there's anybody. It doesn't make sense, like, as far as their characters. They're pretty much melted everybody, literally. So I don't know if there's, yeah, and but you want to see them, though.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, with the Usos, when they had the title, we saw them every week, whether they were wrestling or not. And same thing with New Day. But you, like, this is just.
But who's to say the Bludgeon Brothers aren't on main event or in the dark match?
Yeah, but that we're
but they
not
shouldn't
there.
Be. They're champions.
Yeah,
but if they're an attraction, you shouldn't burn them every week. Although SmackDown's having a problem, having a very unique problem, where like that's what you would say about Asuka, but you know they didn't use Asuka at all tonight.
Just that little promo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like the live crowd didn't get to see Asuka at all tonight.
Right.
Right.
Which is troubling, and like I think they're having a problem where their rosters are too big.
Yeah, that's what I was saying with with the women. There's too many women. Now the rumor is that they're gonna have like a women's separate show, which, you know, would be fine, but then it's just another hour or 2 hours for us to
watch.
No,
we all have to watch it.
Right.
Yeah, like on another network that would be hard to find, and that they're gonna plug incessantly on the existing shows.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, the roster is definitely way too big, and there's so many great. It's not even one of those things where they're filling up the roster where there's the talent's just okay. The talent, especially on the women's side, because I follow them closer. It's just one of those things where there's great talent, but now there's not enough time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see.
Moving on, we got Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose. Before the match starts, Mandy and Sonya are getting ready to go out. Paige stops them in gorilla position. Reminds them that Absolution's dead, and they're like, well, you're not our mom, so we're besties, and we're just going to do what we want, whether you like it or not. And she's like, oh, okay, but Sonya, I don't know if you got my text, but you're barred from ringside, so too bad. Bye.
Is that your British accent?
No, that was not at all a British accent. That was nowhere near a British accent.
I've been advised to not revisit my British accent.
I've also been advised to slap you.
Well.
I did it in, like, you know, not relax.
I mean, when we rap, if you want to just beat him down, I'm not going to stop it. I'll allow it. So Manny's like, it's all right, Sonya, I got this. And then Mandy comes to the ring with the debut of her new theme, and I thought the TV switched to Cinemax. Because they had... They had, like, the... I don't know what you call with the screen, but they made, like, you're almost in, like, dreamland. Like, it's very faded. Like, this is the dream woman heading to the ring. And it felt like it was another song off the album of the theme that Lana comes out to. Because it had the heavy, tenor saxophone going through it. And it was interesting.
I'm not a fan. It's either like I didn't like the music, but whatever. It was the music was slow, and then she was slow. It was just taking too much time, and it was just like, is she going to take her clothes off in the ring? It was very. It's either speed her walk up, where the music's there, but you can speed up just a tiny bit, and it's not as. I don't know. It just looked like she was about to take off her booty shorts.
It looked like the priority was to give her as much time on the ramp with the camera on her solely as much as possible.
Which is fine, but it was just the combination.
It wasn't blocked in a way. It was done at the expense of a better entrance and a like more cohesive story for a match.
Yeah.
That it was like, no, let's just, can we get 90 seconds of her just there?
I'm not against a slower entrance, and if they want to go the route of, oh, she's going to be like, you know, the fantasy person, that's fine. But you don't have to make the adjustment on, like, the screen of it being faded or, you know, like, you're really dimming the lights, you know, because Mandy Rose is on the way.
Well, and Corey.
And Corey Graves, give that man a cigarette.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you know, don't tell his wife. But he seemed to be enjoying himself during that entrance. And Byron and Tom are just like,
I know, in the Me Too movement, too. What's
happening?
Going on?
What's going on right now?
I don't know. I mean, she's amazing. She has an amazing body, but it's just kind of one of those things, like, we could see that she has an amazing body, definitely showcase it, but the combination was just not...
I think we'd all be more impressed if they had to, like, have a Steadicam operator run backwards because she's coming for the ring. Because that's all she cares about.
Yeah.
All we care about is her body. All she cares about is winning.
Yeah. Well, even, like, when Charlotte enters the ring, she does that thing, and then she does the split, and she rolls in. Like, that's... You can interpret that as sexual, but it's still great because it's the timing of it all. She did it really slow and then did a little, you know, thing up. Then it'd be like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
She also went to the ring as fast as possible, is what helps. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, hopefully somebody will figure it out.
Work on it.
Yeah. Well, just as big of a story as the interesting entrance was the fact that Mandy won by herself, clean, and Becky continues this slump that they were heavily mentioning on commentary, that she seems to be in a slump. She can't seem to get back on track. So it's seed planting that they're leading to something with Becky. Whether it means she's actually going to win the Money in the Bank, she's going to maybe turn heel and snap. Something is going to happen, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so people have to deal with the fact that she keeps losing and get frustrated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient. This got to mean that something's going to happen.
Hopefully.
I have a quick prediction.
Uh-oh. Because we got about 4 minutes to wrap up the main event, too.
90 seconds. She has a Money in the Bank qualifier with Asuka. She puts up a great showing, but ultimately loses. A week before the Money in the Bank, they have an 8 or 10 woman match. Whoever lost all their qualifying matches, there's a second chance battle royal or a second chance whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are stacked against her, and then she wins. So she gets the 8th spot in the women's Money in the Bank match, unlikely on a week's notice. And that's how she beats the slump, and hopefully that can give her enough headway to win the Money in the Bank.
Well, yeah, because they wouldn't have her beat the slump and then just lose Money in the Bank.
Yeah, but I think that's the story you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think there's probably going to be the second chance thing on both sides, the men and the women. How they do it, because you got half of them Raw, half of them SmackDown, we'll see. Whether it's a Battle Royal, like a Fatal 4-Way or something.
Well, you would think it would be a big amount. Or, yeah, I guess they could just pick.
Or they do, on the kickoff for Money in the Bank, have them both, have all of them together for Battle Royals. And then, oh, you just won that, but now you got to be in the Money in the Bank match that night.
I like that.
We'll see.
They have a big roster. They have the depth.
Yep. Main event, Dan O'Brien versus Rusev, Money in the Bank qualifying match. Baltimore, more like Baltiless. Oh, Aiden. I love him. it was a good story being told, because Dan O'Brien was working the arm and wrist of Rusev, which then came back to haunt Rusev when he went for the accolade and couldn't lock it in because of the pain on his wrist. I love good ring psychology, and we had that. Rusev countered the running knee by Dan O'Brien, hit his Machka kick, and then I'm thinking Brian's going to kick out, maybe get ready or get the yes lock put on again. Big cast comes out, causes a distraction. Aiden gets involved. No. Rusev hit the Machka kick and then pinned Daniel Bryan in the middle of the ring.
Mm.
Like, it actually happened. They let Rusev have a major clean win. They had Daniel Bryan have a major clean loss.
Which is, yeah, what are they setting up for?
I don't know.
And then it's just like, oh, we're done. See you next week.
Yeah, and he's sitting there in shock as SmackDown goes off the air.
Yeah. Well, like, he's about to cry, too, so...
Well, you'd think they're setting up for Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. And that's a good way, because that feud, they're 1-1 on that feud.
Oh, that feud's not done yet.
Because if you're counting Greatest Royal Rumble, Big Cass eliminated Daniel Bryan from the Greatest Royal Rumble, then Daniel Bryan beat him at Backlash.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we're probably going to get a singles match between them at Money in the Bank. And that's a good way to take both contenders out of the Money in the Bank.
But yeah, but this is my question. So if you're going to continue that feud, then why was Big Cass nowhere to be seen during this? Then on the other side, they started teasing last week about Rusev being on a losing streak and Lana got involved. talking about it in English, and then all of a sudden it's him in English, and then he goes and wins a match clean with no real interference, no Lana, no nothing.
That's a pivot.
Is it now?
That's definitely a pivot, I feel.
Well, maybe Lana, because she's still, you know, on the I want to wrestle kick. She's like, I'm not, I want to wrestle. And they're like, okay, well, you can do NXT.
Oh, Mandy kind of stole her music, so who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, it was a whole weird all around, but I guess we'll see what happens. WWE is always surprising us with something.
And so that's why we watch, to be surprised. And we were definitely surprised with the end of this show, with Rusev beating Daniel Bryan. Did not see that coming at all. As soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, either Cass is going to cause this to have Rusev win, or Daniel Bryan's in Money in the Bank, and we'll see what happens with that. But nope.
Yeah,
well, no. I like the commitment to make Rusev look strong enough to beat Daniel Bryan. And maybe the story we're starting to tell is Daniel Bryan's not ready, or he's a little rusty, or like he's not... or at least Big Cass can taunt him in a way of like, you can't hang with the big boys. Mm-hmm. You're not ready. Like this is a young man. This is a young big man's game, and right. You're just not here for like. I could see that going, and I could also see the Lana seed they planted last week to still happen, and that's how you keep Rusev from winning Money in the Bank. Is that the Aiden English, Lana and Rusev triangle, if you will? That is what prohibits his camp from winning Money in the Bank, but put him in there.
Well. We'll see, because like we said, we have several weeks. We have a break between pay-per-views.
Good Lord.
It's amazing. So we can build up all these things for Money in the Bank. We'll see how it transpires in the weeks to come. But in the meantime, besides leaving your comments on YouTube and iTunes, you can talk to us on various forms of social media. Steve Kaufman, how can people reach out to you?
People can reach out to me on Twitter almost exclusively. I'm at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F. M-A-N-N, I run YouTube pages for a lot of your favorite pro wrestlers and pro wrestling personalities, including Ric Flair, Tony Schiavone, Bruce Pritchard, and Eric Bischoff. So if I retweet the link, you watch the link.
I was going to say, you better not forget one of them.
I'm not going to forget any of them.
TK!
Wow. Impressive. I like that. You can follow me on everything, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, at TK Trinidad. You can also see me on TMZ, Monday through Friday, talking ish about everybody, except for Kanye, because I'm done with him.
We all are. We all are done with him. May 18th, Brian Kendrick's Wrestling Pro Wrestling returns. You can watch it live on twitch.tv or twitch.com.
TV.
I'm so out of it. I'm not good.
You're going to tweet the link.
Stuff. I will tweet out the link for Wrestling Pro Wrestling on Twitch, because a certain devilish sports agent might be making his return over to Wrestling Pro Wrestling. I have to stay tuned for that. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Will Rosenberg, Instagram, TheWillRosenberg, personaltees.com/Christian Rosenberg. I'm going to go enjoy some cereal, and you all enjoy your evening. For Steve Kaufman and TK Trinidad, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.